Hi, welcome to blog number 11. I'm actually almost in a state of confusion tonight because there's so many things I'm trying to keep. I've got too many balls in the air. But what I'm going to do is, it seems to be that what's happening now is I whatever I write on the Facebook page, I also copy onto and paste onto the website. So you don't miss out. For those of you who don't actually have a Facebook page, so I'm doing that, but this week, because on the website is the only place where I'm talking. I'm doing readings from the book, but there's a page that actually is a review of the four legs, and I think I'm going to try to add that page, that review page, on to the blog tonight. We'll see whether or not it works or not. I'm going to try it. Also, you're going to notice, if I do get that printed, that you'll see at the end of each of the legs, there's a short form. Remember that short form? Be still, heart to heart, let it go, thank you. Well, just to remember that that's just a way of, it's kind of a memory jog. So if you can remember those, they actually give you a sense of what the four legs are. So be still, of course, is meditation. Heart to heart is compassion. Let it go is forgiveness. And thank you is gratitude. This will make more sense, I think, when you see that printed page. Like I say, fingers crossed that I'll be able to do it. So I'm just going to continue on with some of the reading. That one page I'll print, but I will not be reading it tonight because I think it would just confuse you. It's easier to read it. But now I will continue on with the reading and the page that says, "It's always your intention that governs what happens." So remember, I think the last time we had the three dogs and the cat, and well, four dogs because Truman was also a little puppy. We're at a party, remember, and it actually was a meeting between the different between all of them to sort out some things, as it was called a quorum. So here they all are, and now we have Alphonse talking. "So there you have it," said Alphonse. "You now have your fully packed spiritual survival kit. Lightweight, but very effective. Good for all situations. And I mean that, Truman, seriously. I challenge you to find a problem where one of the four legs would not help. We assure you that the four legs will serve you wherever you go, whenever you need them. We wish you all the best." "Are you going somewhere?" asked Truman, feeling a bit confused. "No, dear Truman, but you are," said Daisy, placing her big head gently on Truman's. "Be still," said Alphonse. "Bless you," said Daisy. "Let it go," said Kittimus. "Thank you," said Snap. I just realized that I made a little mistake in the book there. So if you will just be patient, I'm actually doing an edit right now of this book. And there, I just did it, because it's actually not bless you, it's heart to heart, said Daisy. Let it go, thank you. Okay. Good to find these little mistakes when you're writing a book. Okay, so let's start that again. So it's be still, said Alphonse. Heart to heart, said Daisy. Let it go, said Kittimus. Thank you, said Snap. And give our best to the boss. Truman didn't have time to ask Snap what he meant because Blossom was slipping on his harness and pulling him away. The three dogs and one cat, his teachers and best friends, all stood together waving goodbye with their tails. Perhaps it was because he was looking back at them. Who knows? And who knows why that squirrel came out of nowhere and shot across the road? And was it his instinct as a ratter to forget everything Blossom had tried to teach him to never, never run into the street? Perhaps because she was waving goodbye to her new friends, her grip on the leash was not as tight as necessary. It's unimportant, all those suppositions, really. They were pointless because each small action led to the creation of a perfect storm. Truman didn't feel a thing, but he heard the screech of brakes and Blossom's painful cry. And when he looked down, because he realized he had left his puppy body and was ascending, he saw his four mentors calmly watching him move away, as though they had known all along that this would happen. And as he moved through space, Truman had no sensation of heat or cold or pain, no feeling of movement, no sense of fear. He sailed past planets and stars, galaxy upon galaxy, and all he felt was a profound stillness. When at last he broke into the light, he felt that every cell in his body was glowing, phosphorescent, alive. Then as quickly as a scene cut in a movie, Truman found himself seated in a chair, dressed in a suit, in a human body. He looked at the watch on his wrist, which read 2:30 p.m., and when he looked up, he saw a man sitting across from him, a dog on either side. "Hello, Truman," said the man. The dogs nodded in Truman's direction.
Hello, said Truman. "Do I know you?"
"Possibly," said the man.
"You do have a name," said Truman.
"I do," said the man.
"Which is?" said Truman. The man smiled at Truman.
"Well, some people call me God, but if that's too weird for you, you can just call me Frank or Joe, whatever, I'm easy." He pointed at the two dogs. "And this is JC, and this is Fanny."
"Did you say God?" asked Truman.
"I did," said God.
"You're wearing jeans and a t-shirt. I thought you were a robe and sandals kind of guy."
"Old school, man," said JC, "except for the sandals."
"One of the best things humans ever came up with," said Fanny.
Truman nodded, doing his best to assimilate the information.
"What am I doing here?" asked Truman.
"You're probably here to learn the final part of the spiritual survival kit. I imagine you've been sent by Alphonse."
"You know Alphonse?" said Truman.
"Of course. Alphonse and me, we go way back," said God.
"I see," said Truman. "But back to you. Are you really the supreme being, like number one, the top of the spiritual heap?"
"Oh, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say that. It's all a matter of perspective," said God. At which point God changed into the Buddha, draped in rich saffron robes, his body rotund, his head shaved. "We're really all the same one, God or Buddha or Muhammad or Krishna or the big kahuna. Well, pick a name." There was a momentary flash, almost like a subliminal message, where Truman could have sworn he saw a dog sitting across from him, and then God reappeared. Truman had more questions.
"Is it true that dogs are more evolved than humans?" asked Truman.
JC and Fanny nodded.
"Well, Alphonse certainly thinks so," said God, "and he's got his reasons. I mean, you don't see dogs blowing each other up or trashing the environment or shunning other dogs because they're a different color or getting bent out of shape because their friend has a bigger ball than they do. So yes, I suppose in some ways they are more evolved."
"My children have dogs," said Truman. "I never understood why until I was thrust into the body of a dog and got to see how profound my relationship to my owner was."
"Yes, it's an honor to be chosen by a dog," said God.
"I hope you don't mind my asking, but why do you let terrible things such as natural disasters happen?" asked Truman.
"Oh, that's a tough one, Truman.
First of all, a fair number of natural disasters are anything but. When I gave mankind free will, I took the risk that they might make some less than intelligent choices, and unfortunately, they have not disappointed, such as
sometimes choosing evil over good. So you believe in evil? Asked Truman. I acknowledge its existence, but I do my best to keep focused on its opposite. But there are evil people, said Truman. There are damaged people, misled people, unhappy people. Very few fall into the category of evil. But just as wars get the most attention, so too do those very few who embody evil. We are constantly being tested and tempted. Even I am not without temptation. I've had days when I wondered if it might not be better to blow it all up and start again, tabula rasa. But I just get handed a new version of the world, and given my decision to grant free will, I'd just be faced with new and different challenges. So, to return to your original question, let me put this to you, Truman. When something terrible happens, who does mankind blame? Me. That's part of my job description. It's not easy. Forgiveness is hard work. And my job is not to fight evil, but to forgive it. Easy to say, but tricky to accomplish. And, as I said, endless. Don't imagine that I'm callous or unaware of my failures. Disasters, violence, treachery, betrayal, all on my watch. Witnessing those who would twist my words, how could it not upset me? All I'm asking is that you have a little faith, if not in the existence of God, then at least in the existence of good. Besides, there's no way to prove my existence any more than there's a way to disprove it. Disasters do not prove my lack of existence any more than miracles prove it. Believing is just that. It's not about being right. You either believe or you don't. Before Truman could react to this, God and the dogs vanished, leaving Truman to ponder what had been said and to kick himself for not asking other important questions such as, is there still hope? At which point God reappeared. Oh, there's always hope, said God, but that's hardly a game plan. You have to get to work. Make your bed. Action changes things. Action. All the rest is commentary. So why am I here? Asked Truman. Ah, yes, I almost forgot, said God. You have a job to do.
A job?
Yes, but I got waylaid. You're here to learn about what I call the body, or the tabletop, the part that holds the four legs in place. It's the center, the heart. I'll start by talking about the benefits of each leg to see how they affect the heart. And that's what we'll continue with next week. That's the end of this blog, and have a creative week.